For the first 20 years or so that I lived in Duluth, I did not have a bird bath. In a neighborhood with a nearby creek and Lake Superior itself less than a mile away, I figured a tiny water feature could hardly provide birds with anything they couldn't get on their own, so setting out a bird bath seemed like more trouble than it would be worth. Maintaining a bird bath responsibly requires diligence. Birds drink as well as bathe in them, so it's important to make sure that the water is clean. But when I got a good camera, knowing that many warblers are drawn to the right kinds of bird baths, suddenly the work of maintaining one or two seemed worthwhile. In my experience, the traditional bird baths set on a pedestal don't attract many warblers or other tricky-to-observe species, which expect natural water supplies to be closer to the ground. For a while, I was using a really cool ground bird bath that looked like a natural little waterfall, an electric pump keeping the water recirculating. It lasted only a few years before the pump failed and wasn't repairable. I felt bad. It had attracted a lot of wonderful birds, but I hated using electricity to power it anyway. Now I have 5 bird baths all set near each other just in front of my raspberry bed. 4 are identical shallow dishes from a bird feeding store set in pairs, one on the ground and the other on a stand about 10 inches off the ground. Between those 2 pairs is a kitty litter pan with a solar-powered recirculating bubbler in the center. That bubbler came from a pedestal bird bath I bought 15 or so years ago. The basin cracked long ago, but the bubbler still works. A rock sticks out to allow easy access. The sound of water dripping from the bubbler attracts lots of birds. Every morning I empty all 5 baths and rinse them thoroughly with my hose on the most powerful jet setting, and then I fill them with fresh water. My catbirds and brown thrashers often fly in for a drink as soon as I'm done, sometimes while I'm still putting away the hose. I used to photograph birds at the baths from inside the wonderful portable bird blind my friend Bruce Pomeroy gave me back in 2006. Unfortunately, it blocks the view of the bird baths from inside the house, so I had to be setting it up and taking it down a lot. Late last fall, Russ and I put in a patio. Sitting there puts me further from the bird baths than I was in the blind, but to compensate, I'm now using a longer lens, 200 to 800 millimeters, set on a tripod. My jays, robins, catbirds, and thrashers quickly adjusted to my presence, and migrating birds seem to trust that the local birds know what they're doing, so I've managed a few nice photo ops this year. In August, I got some photos of a yellow warbler, a very common species, but one that doesn't show up often on Peabody Street. And then, on Labor Day, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a Connecticut warbler. He posed from several different angles, giving me some of the best Connecticut warbler photos I've ever taken. The Connecticut warbler is one of the rarest and most narrowly distributed wood warblers in the northern coniferous forest. Its densest breeding populations concentrated in a very small region of southern Ontario and northern Minnesota. I used to see them just about every year in my own backyard during fall migration, and often in spring as well, but they've declined noticeably since we moved here. This June, I heard one singing at a distance the day I birded in the bog with my friend Paula. If I couldn't see one singing at full volume in a place where they're known to breed, I certainly didn't expect to see one up close and personal in my own backyard. This bird did not make a sound during the minute or two it was at the bath, so I'm lucky I was looking in the right place at the right moment. The next day, I saw what I'm virtually positive was a second Connecticut warbler in an apple tree branch just above the bird bath. This bird was in a much more ambiguous fall plumage and so could possibly have been a morning warbler, but that which I'm pretty sure was a Connecticut warbler by any other name would look as sweet, and I have the photos to prove it, photos that remind me of how grateful I am to be alive on this lovely little planet and how obligated I am to protect it so that one day my grandson Walter will be able to enjoy Connecticut warblers in his own backyard. But the way the species is declining, I'm afraid that'll take more than just luck and a clean bird bath. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.